importance of vision and to understand how it operates. We covered the areas that vision is the ability to see beyond that which is natural. We brought out the four components of Bible vision, and one is the ability to see beyond that which is natural. The second component was the faith to believe, having the right or maintaining the right attitude. And number three, the courage to do or to take action. And you've got to have courage to finish out or fulfill what God's called you to do. And of course, the last one we brought out was hope, the hope to endure. And these four components is what literally maintains vision, and what I call Bible vision. Speaking about courage, I brought out that our flesh encourages to live in the comfort zone. It always does. But God encourages us to live in the courageous zone. God will never ask you to do anything that you can do. God will always ask you to do something in the natural you cannot do. Why? Because it's God that is at work within your heart, not you. Are you following what I'm saying? So that we can do what He says He can do in us. We brought out the first battle of courage is to conquer yourself. Courage is the first awareness of being a leader or a leadership position in life. Courage makes things right, not fixing things up. Courage deals with principles, not perception. Courage is conviction stronger than fear and a vision clearer than your doubts. The vision has to be stronger and clearer than any of your doubts. Now today we're going to talk about hope for just a few minutes. I don't have a long message. But what I do have to share with you, I hope it just gets a hold of you and sticks in your thinking and you'll never forget it. Hope is the final point that we're going to bring out that helps maintain vision. Hope to endure is a hope that holds up under fire, to remain firm without yielding. Faith keeps that person that keeps the faith. And that's through hope. I'll say that again. Faith keeps the person that keeps the faith. Faith keeps the person that keeps the faith. Faith is the courage to face reality with hope. The courage to face reality with hope. I'm going to tell you something. Whenever you get a hope, a God kind of hope in your heart, you're always going to be challenged with it. No matter where you are, what you do, or the circumstance, whatever it is, you'll always be challenged in the area of your hope. Because hope is a position that your natural mind, that's where hope resides, in your natural mind, not your spiritual mind, your natural mind. And Satan has access to try to get to our spirit through our natural mind. Today, talking about hope, I want you to turn over to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Let's go to verse 17. Romans 4:17. Let's pray. Father, as I now get into this passage, into this word, I pray that the things that you've shared with me that has so strengthened me, it gives me a greater understanding of operating in the realm of faith. It's expanded myself so tremendously and given me more hope and confidence than I've ever had before. Father, I pray that this gets across to your people today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, in Romans chapter 4, verse 17, it says, "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, given glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now we're going to stop. And this is one of them translations where the readers himself or the translators themselves miss the mark with God. It does not read, verse 19 and 20 reads a little differently in the language that it was formerly written in. And not weakening in faith, he considered the body of himself to have died, being about 100 years old, and the death of the womb of Sarah. But he did not decide against the promise of God by unbelief, but was empowered by faith, giving glory to God. You know, a lot of times people seem to think that just because you look at doubt, that now you've lost faith. But I'm going to tell you something. It's pretty hard for us not to see something that's in the natural. And I wish the translators had put it that way properly, because we're going to look at a word that's very interesting in the Greek language, and that's the word not. Not. But before we go there, let's go over to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, let's go to verse 24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Wait for it. Very, very interesting. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. And how many of you know that's the famous faith chapter? I wish the whole world knew what he was really talking about in that entire chapter. But anyway, in Hebrews chapter 11, let's go to verse 1. But now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Notice this. The evidence of things not seen. For by it, actually in the Greek, it's by this, the elders obtained witness that through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Powerful. Now, if you have a New International Bible, you can scratch that verse out. Why the translators, I guess they were supposed to be good Greek scholars that helped put some of our translations together. We're supposed to have gotten behind it, and they translated in their verse, New International, universe. And it's Ionis. Has nothing to do with the universe. And if you take a look at verse 3, and you look at it that God creating something out of nothing, then what I'm about to share with you, that would be contrary to what faith really is. Now, let's go back to Romans chapter 4, and let's take a look at Abraham. Very interesting, these verses. Looking at verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. I want you to underline the word not. Be not as though they were. You know, it amazes me how Christians really don't understand Bible hope. Many of them will confess a hope that really has no reality. Not only because I can see the fruits of their life, and what they're confessing as a hope is not even possible because it doesn't correlate to the fruits of their own walk. In other words, if I saw their fruit and in line with what they were hoping for, their fruit. I did not say what they said. I'm talking about their fruit. You know what fruit is, people? Fruit is the manifestation of action. Fruit is always the manifestation of a person's action. A person can say, but show me the fruit. Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit, not by what they say or they say they believe. You'll always know them by the action taken. Okay. Now notice what he says here. Very clearly, he says that Abraham had an encounter with God. And the encounter that he had with God is that God spoke something to him out of the operation of faith. Out of the operation of faith. And because he had a natural hope versus a godly hope, are you following me? He made a decision not to go by that which was a natural hope. Now, follow me very closely, because if you get a hold of this, it'll change your whole concept of believing and trusting in God. But along with it comes your responsibility. How many of you follow what I'm saying? I mean, when I saw it, it set me free. But if I was a carnal believer, it would literally bind me up. Because carnality cannot conceive responsibility. Carnality always wants to shove it all off on God and let God work the thing out as long as he learns something. Now I'm going to share something with you. The hope that the Bible speaks of is a very interesting hope. It's a very interesting hope. If you will, hold your place there, and I want you to underline the word be not. Be not. Underline this word be not. And I want us to go back to Romans 8, and let's look at that passage again. In Romans 8, it says, for we are saved by hope. But notice this, but hope that is seen is not, and I want you to underline is not there, is not hope, is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? It's a question. Now notice, hope that is seen is not hope. Is not hope. Oh, I like this. But if we hope for that we see not, underline the word not there, we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. Now, this word not is a very interesting word. I proofread everything now through what I call an interlinear. That is the Bible that had been, literally it's a copy of what was originally had written at one time. And so I always run everything through it. And you have to be careful about what interlinear you're using, because some of them are, this include all the King James translation. But Marshall's puts in there what was originally in there and leaves out which doesn't belong. So I always use a Marshall's interlinear. And when I was reading about giving you this message today, I now read everything right in the Greek language because I'm so familiar with Greek words, and I ran across this word not is the word, the Greek word me. Now that might not mean anything to you, but it will in just a minute. The word me is a very interesting word. The word me literally means a person who is looking at something and does not conceive or supposes the thing not to exist. That means that one conceives or supposes that something does not exist. In other words, they don't really know. In other words, I'm looking at something and I don't really know or perceive whether that thing exists or not. See, this is one word for the word be not. So in other words, in light of what God had spoken to Abraham, are you following me? The Greek writer chose to put the word me in there instead of the other word for the word not, which is oi. The word oi literally gives testimony that something really doesn't exist. Now the word be not does not, that word does not exist unless it's either in the heart of the eye of the beholder or the one who is giving the information to the eye of the beholder. In other words, if God is going to use the word not, there's something in the heart of God that not covers, which would be in this case, it does exist. So if God said something and he uses the term be not, it literally means that it doesn't perceive to exist in you, but it does in me. So if God said something, then it does exist. But the problem is it doesn't appear to exist in the eye of the beholder sometimes. Can I hear an amen? But now, from our perspective, if we look at what God had said, and we look at through the eyes of not really knowing whether it does exist or not, but God spoke it to us. Oh, would that not be reading the Bible? Amen. How many of you read your Bible? Get your hand up. Did you know there are a lot of things in that Bible that you suppose could exist, but it seemingly doesn't exist? Can I see your honest hands now? Yep. A lot of things that God says seemingly doesn't or supposedly doesn't exist, but from God's viewpoint, when he said it, it does exist. Isn't that interesting? You know, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. But he goes on to say, for my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And then he goes on to say, for as the heaven is higher than the earth, so shall be my word that cometh out of the heavens and give water to the earth so that the earth can produce something. Guess what? In the earth. From what? That which God has planted in the earth. And he has planted his word in the earth. Well, he gives water to blossom that thing because he goes on to say, my words will not return to me void. Why? It has existence. So when God approached Abraham and said, Abraham, walk upright and be thou perfect before me. I want to cut a covenant with you. A covenant of sonship, because you desire a kid, I desire family too. And so you walk upright before me, and what I tell you will come to pass. Why? Because I'm about to tell you what does exist. But in the eye of Abraham, he didn't really know whether it exists or not. And the word there, that be not, as though they were, is the Greek word, me. It means God spoke something to Abraham that did exist, but you couldn't see it. It did exist, but you couldn't see it. You know, a lot of Christians don't realize that they make God a liar and don't even know it. He said something, they don't eat the fruit of it, then because they don't bear the fruit of that, they are literally not trusting or relying in what he said. Now, a lot of us can't take that responsibility. Why? Because it would be working because I trust it and believe. You know, a lot of Christians, they believe God with their head rather than their whole heart. You know what heart believing is? If you guys weren't here Wednesday night, you were one of those little tripper-outers, get the tape and listen to how to put a guard over your heart. You know, a lot of us have confidence in our heart. You're not to have confidence in your heart. You're to only have confidence in your heart if it is guarded by the Word of God. See? And so, what did he say here? He said, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed. God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not. It supposedly doesn't seem to exist, but it does have existence as though they were. It does have existence. But to Abraham, it didn't seemingly have any existence. How many of you had Scripture spoke to you?
Yep.
And quickened to you? Why do you think God did that? Because by the comfort of Scriptures, we have a lively hope unto our salvation. And a lot of Christians don't go to the Word of God and don't put trust in His Word. It seemingly doesn't think that you're not going to get out of this. But listen, you have a lively hope. You have a hope in the Scriptures that were given to us, which are the promises of God. And if He revealed it as His will, you can trust in it. Don't call Him a liar.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Now notice what he says here. This is powerful. The word oi expresses that it actually does not exist. It does not exist. Now in Romans 8:24, notice this in Romans 8:24. Notice verse 24. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not. Is not. Underline the word not. Is not. Guess what word he uses there? Oi. In other words, when your hope is only by what you see, you are not looking at what is truth. Is not. It has no real existence. Boy, you tell a carnal believer that and they'll go, that doesn't make any sense. It makes God sense. If you read His Word, and you realize when He says something, He's not a man that should lie. He's by that's one of the things that confirms Scripture, is the fact that God cannot lie to you. You know, somebody said, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Wrong. God said it, that's it. Whether you believe it or not. It's not up to whether you believe it or not that He said it. He said it, period, over and out. There's the problem with understanding faith. The issue is never with God, it's always how we perceive it. I like this. He identifies what we see as having no real existence. Isn't that interesting?
Boy, don't get me around them confession people. I wouldn't say something like that. I wouldn't. That would be a lie.
Well, where do you begin and end with that kind of concept? Now, I like this. Let's go to verse 25. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Guess what word for not is there? We or me? Me. It's the word me. It's not the word oi. In other words, the first not, verse 24, is doesn't have any existence. But notice he says that kind of hope has no existence. What we see has no existence. It doesn't have any real existence. Oh, people, this ought to just expand your faith towards the Word of God already. You mean to tell me that what I see, don't trust in that, but what God said, that's the kind of hope God wants you to have. What He said over what you see. Absolutely. That rhymes. Isn't this incredible? It's incredible. God says you can see anything that you want to see, but it has no real existence. But if you obey what I say, it has existence.
Well,
I wouldn't say that.
I like this. Let's go over. You know, this broke a mystery to me. I'm going to break it to you. If you don't go to shouting on your own, I'm going to pray for your salvation. Go over to Hebrews 11. I figured this one out already. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Are you ready? The evidence, I like this, of things not seen. And I thought, that's got to be me. I looked at it, it's oi. He says that faith has substance of things hoped for. But listen, it's the evidence of things not seen. Notice this. I love this. For, comma, hope for, comma, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, that which has no real existence. So we know that faith gives substance to the things hoped for, because it's the evidence against things that seemingly has no existence. That's another indictment against what you see. Now watch this. Watch this. For by it the elders obtained witness, because through faith we understand that the worlds were framed, altered, or adjusted by the word rhema of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I like this. Are seen, were not made. Not made. Guess what? The word for not made there is the word me. It seemingly didn't have any real existence. But it did have real existence, because that's why it was not made out of things which you do see. Glory to God.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Boy, that ought to expand your trust towards God. Are you guys getting this? Man, when I got a hold of this, I was doing a tap. I'm glad nobody saw me in my house. I was just, whoa, whoa, God, whoa, that expanded my trust towards you, looking at the Word, looking at the Word. To my natural mind, it doesn't seemingly or supposedly have any substance, but glory to God, it does have substance if He said it. But I like the way He uses that word against that which is seen. He used the word not. It has no existence. Uh-oh. We just indicted our flesh. Did you guys get something here this morning? Just meditate on that. That'd be enough, man. I'll tell you what, I was floating this whole weekend. I was so conscious of the Word of God that I decided to get off alone and take my rifles and my ammunition and go off in the woods and shoot and just be with God this day, you know? So I got my guns all loaded. It took me an hour and 15 minutes. Get all loaded up. I go driving out towards the mountain. And I noticed this one gravel pit that I shot in before. And I pulled in there, got my rifles and stuff, went walking into the woods, went around the normal fence I go. And I get into the gravel pit, and I go to pull the trigger. Something goes to scratching on the inside of me. I didn't know what it was. And all of a sudden, I come walking back out of the woods. I couldn't even shoot. As I'm walking out, I run into a police officer. He says, "What you doing?" I said, "Well, officer, I was going to go down here in this gravel pit here and shoot, but I decided not to. Something just went to scratching on the inside of me." And he said, "Well, I know that. I didn't hear no gunshots." He says, "But you look well armed." I says, "Yeah." He says, "What do you mean something going to scratch?" And I said, "Well, I felt wrong about it." He says, "Good for you. I'm going to let you go then." I said, "Let me go then?" So we walk out to the side. The fence, right there in the middle of the fence, no shooting.
Whoa.
And I read all the qualifications for shooting in that area, none of them fit me. He says, well, what gave you that insight? And I says, I'm a minister of the gospel. He says, so God put a check, because he was a born-again Christian. He says, so God put a check on your heart. And I says, he sure did. And if I'd have seen that, I wonder if I'd have still done it. And he started laughing. Because I didn't know whether I would have still done it or not. He says, well, you convinced me. He says, you're a man of discerning of spirits. He said, because if I'd have heard some gunshots go off, I'd have confiscated your rifle and your ammo. He says, have a good day. But you know, that taught me something. Everywhere I drove then after that to shoot, they all had those stupid signs posted. And you know what God spoke to me? I gave up. I said, I'm just going to drive home. I don't want to get stopped again. And I thought about those signs, and I thought about those signs. You know, finally dawned on me. That's the way we need to do the Word of God. We need to obey it over everything else to the letter. And God told me the same violation that I would take into disobey that word is the same co-equal that I would have disobeyed the Word of God with.
True. That is right.
I went, my Lord, my God. So I packed up and drove home. Fully loaded. Even bought extra ammo. I says, God, spent $40 in ammo and can't even pop off a shot. And he says, yeah, but you learned a lesson. It was $40 worth. Did you get something here today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I did too. Praise God. Hope is a powerful tool. Powerful tool. Everybody stand up. See, I wasn't too long-winded, huh? Just right. That's enough. Just get a hold of that, people. I'll tell you what. You know, that'll build faith in you, because then you'll begin to realize that everything you see is not where reality is. You know, we're programmed to believe that. You know, there is reality to what we see apart from God. But when God says something, you can bank it's more real than what you see. Because there is a natural seeing that is healthy. How many of you know that? There's a natural discernment. But when God's word dictates to you a word against natural hope, you can bank on that which is against natural hope over that by what God has spoken.
That's it.
You know, this body is going to be challenged more than ever. Next few months, we're going on some salvation messages. God told me you need to turn this body into soul winners. And man, he started unlifting scriptures that I had never seen in the Word of God. So much so that it made me be a little more bolder about my witness for the Lord no matter where I'm at. And you know, because this is so burning in my heart, did you know all of a sudden I've got people that literally are putting me in a position to where I have no alternative but to answer them. Isn't that amazing? I never had those opportunities before.
Hallelujah.
Even this morning going into the coffee shop, yeah, I drank coffee before service. I walked in and I was pouring my coffee, and this guy named Steve, he's always there. He said, hey, aren't you that preacher man? I looked at him and I said, I sure am. He said, what's your message going to be on today? And I said, hope. You got some? He looked at me, because I know Steve, you know. I don't know him real intimately, but I know him by the coffee shop. He said, that's an interesting subject. And I said, hey, it's got a whole lot in it. I said, what church you go to? Normally, I wouldn't do that. He go, oh, well, and then he rattle off all these churches. I said, why don't you find one and stabilize yourself, brother? He said, well, I ain't found anybody as bold as you. He said, so I guess I'll make this coffee shop my church, as long as you keep showing up. Smart aleck. So I started sharing with them. Then the lady on the, behind the counter said, well, I didn't know you were a pastor. And I got to witness to her. And I said, well, how come you guys, Steve, how come you knew about me? He says, the owner of this coffee shop went to your church. I said, I always hear went. Why can't I hear is?
Yeah.
Always hear went. Mm-hmm. So he told me who the owner was. And I went, oh my gosh, yeah, hi. Well, that's weird. We got some exciting days ahead. Because I asked for that wisdom. And boy, God put a hope in me that's so powerful that no man can take it. But I'm going to put it in you. And we're going to run this race together. Amen.
Yes.
Godly hope.
Yes.
There's a natural hope. But when the Word of God overrides this natural hope, you can go with the Word of God. Father, I thank you today for the Word of God. Now, as we close this service, I pray that your people, as they kick back tonight and go about their business of rest in memory of the dying or the dead, Father, I pray that that you minister to their hearts, speak to their minds as you did through John Calloway today in remembrance of our military. And Father, how much we can appreciate and honor them. And Father, we thank you. We don't know how you're going to judge things out for those that died not saved. I don't know how you're going to deal with that. But Father, I know that you're incapable of a wrong justice. And I know that whenever anybody has given their life for the cause of another, that's not going to be gone unsaid and undone. I don't know how that's judged. But I do know one thing, Father. You're the judge of everything, and I thank God that you are the judge, because I know you're incapable of rendering a wrong judgment. And oh, Father, preserve your precious ones here today. Father, I thank the ones that have come this morning to be a part of this service. And Father, may they have a good and glorious day, knowing that you were their first fruits here today. By being here. And Father, just honor and bless them for that. Because I know how precious their time is. And you do too. For them to choose to come out. Simply sit under the Word. I hope I blessed them with the Word today, Father, for your sake. Father, may they go away believing, with the capability of believing more in your words that come from your very own lips. We love you, Father. Oh, we love you, Father. We love you, Father. We praise you. Watch over every believer that is here today. Watch over them closely in Jesus' name as they go their way. Amen. You're dismissed.